So tonight's message is real simple. It's crybaby. Crybaby. Has anybody ever called you a crybaby? Don't raise your hand, amen. Because if you raise your hand, you probably were a crybaby. I'm just kidding, no. But listen, if you look up here, it's cry, comma, baby. Everybody say cry, comma, baby. Tell the person next to you, cry, comma, baby. Amen. It's going to make sense in the end, amen? Amen. God is so good. See, so many people and people of the church sometimes have given up on their calling because they think that God doesn't care. And that's a lie that Pastor Tamara was pointing out to in the testimonies, that they feel sometimes that God doesn't care. But see, we base that off of how people treat us. And we associate God with people, but God isn't people. Amen? We judge God's character based on how somebody treated us, because we think, well, if that person is like that, then God must be like that. We won't say it, but we will feel that way. Sometimes when people suffer growing up in a crazy home where the dad is a certain way, kids grow up with that mentality, like, if my daddy's like this, then God might be like this. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. God is not like people. God is loving. God is merciful. God is love. And we're gonna go through some awesome points that God was giving me earlier today. And we're going to see God's character, amen? And we're going to see who God really is. So if you look at stories in the Bible, see, God loved people throughout the whole Bible. And God looks at after somebody's not outer appearance. And people look at your outer appearance all the time and make judgments on you. Amen? But we see God, look at Joseph. He chose Joseph for a reason. He knew, if I choose this guy, if I choose one of his brothers, I know that if he's in a position of authority, he's probably going to play with his phone or something. I'm just kidding. He chose David. Samuel went and looked for the eldest brother, and God said, not that one. See, God looks at the inner being, not at the outer being. Amen? That's who God is. Amen? So tell the person next to you, you're important to God. Tell them God has a plan for you. Amen. My point number one is, does God have feelings? It's a question. Does God have feelings? Amen? What's our Christian answer, guys? Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures that you could give to people who are hurting. And you say, God doesn't care for me. God doesn't feel for me. And then you can give them these scriptures, okay? It's going to be good notes for you guys to take. Amen? I feel good. See, I used to love reading the Old Testament. But the Old Testament, like, you see, like God who gets, like, angry and like, it's a word in Spanish, diluvio, there's a big rain and only Noah and his family was spared. Amen? You see a God that when Moses comes down a mountain and people are praising this other God, he opens up the earth and everybody gets swallowed up. It's crazy. See, God, when you read wrath, wrath in Hebrew is I wrote it down here somewhere. Is wrath, and it's angry with fire. I'd rather make you upset than God upset, for real. Like I could handle you being upset at me. Hey, bro, I'm mad at you. Trust me, you ain't gonna be mad with no fire coming out. Amen. You ain't gonna be God at being mad. See, but sometimes people when I grew up in church, sometimes like my Sunday school teachers would always teach me on the hand of God. Than his heart, like his compassion and his love. It was always like, if you do this, you're gonna go to hell. If you do this, you're gonna go to hell. And if you do this, God is gonna get mad at you. I never got taught. I mean, I did, but some of my Sunday school teachers were like really old school, And they would always teach me about the hand of God. So I was always scared of the hand of God. Like, please, don't, please, Lord, like, I'm sorry. See, but we see that side of God. Last week, Paul was asking the names of God, and Joel said, God is a jealous God. Amen? But we're going to go into some awesome scriptures. If you go to Luke 19:41, it shows that Jesus feels, he has emotion. Amen? If you go to Luke, what did I say? 19:41 says that now as he drew near Jesus, he saw the city and he wept over it. You see Jesus here who's feeling sadness, who's feeling bitterness for Jerusalem. And he weeps over the city. Amen. We see Jesus, our Savior, weeping for the city. That shows his heart. If you go to John 11, it's a story of John 11, verses 33 and 35. It says that when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, it says that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. This is where his friend Lazarus died, and he was already in the tomb. Amen. And it says, "Where have you laid him?" He asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then what? Jesus weeps. He's sad. He's moved by emotion. See, God is not just up like in the throne with this unlimited power, just waiting to spank us when we mess up. He feels. He's moved by compassion. Amen. I just spit a little bit. That's cool. See, we see the God side. We see Jesus, the Son. And look, in Ephesians 4:30, it says, "And do not what? And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit." See, if the Holy Spirit had no feelings, how can we grieve the Holy Spirit if he has no feelings? So see, God is a God of emotion. God is a God that feels. So when you say, God doesn't understand how I feel, yes, he does. We see it all throughout the Word of God. We just saw a couple of scriptures that could back that up. Amen? God, yeah, it shows that God is an angry with fire God, but also God is a God that cries. A Holy Spirit that is grieved when we're disobedient. Amen? You guys learning something? See, David says this in 2 Samuel 24:14. Check this out. And David said to God, "I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord." See, look, David understood this. He'd rather fall in the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are what? "But do not let me fall into the hand of man." He knows that God will be more merciful and more compassion than men. See, so we can't judge God's character on men, because the Bible shows us that God's mercies are greater. Amen? Tell the person next to you, God's mercies are greater than man's mercies. Amen? Amen. See, God will more likely have compassion than people will. Amen? And listen, if you're feeling sad and if you're feeling down or depressed, it's okay to feel that, because we're people, we're humans. But see, it's not wrong to have feelings because God has feelings. But it's wrong to let feelings have you. Amen? Listen, that's not an Isaac quote. I didn't make that up. I heard that somewhere and it really blessed me. But I will say it again, all right? The awesome thing is like church stuff, I don't even know if it's original, because so many, like one person said it, like a mentor said it, and then the mentee preached it, and then that guy's mentee preached it, and then who knows, but it's not wrong to have feelings. God has feelings. It's wrong to let feelings have you. Amen? Amen? I was at Starbucks, and I saw Marcella. I sent Shayla a video, and she was just praising God, like, on her phone. And she was listening to Matt Gilman. I mean, I didn't listen to the music, but she had a YouTube video of Matt Gilman, and she's like praising God. And then I started thinking of things, and I said she was keeping it D, like discipled. But then I was like, she was keeping it G. She was keeping it godly. Yeah. So, just a little side note for those hashtags for the October, or what is it? Fall. For the fall, make sure, guys, girls, keep it G. All right. Don't be putting those skimpy outfits saying, oh, like, hashtag Halloween, you know, or nothing like that. Listen, let's keep it godly, amen? Yeah. Let's keep it righteous. Let's be set apart, amen? Yeah. Amen. Everybody say, keep it G.
Keep it, G.
Keep it godly, amen? Yeah. Come on, say, keep it godly.
Keep it godly.
Amen. That's just a little side note, amen? All right, point number two, guys. Does God care about my feelings? Listen, I was praying about this earlier, and God was like, you have to preach this tonight because somebody needs to hear this tonight. Somebody's about to quit. Somebody's about to stop going to church because they feel like God doesn't care. So I was like, right on, Holy Spirit, let's do it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Does God care about my feelings? Remember what we said earlier, the devil will always influence people to judge God's character, always. He'll always influence people. He'll always put that thought in your head. God don't care about you. He don't listen to you. Check this out. Let's go to Mark 4:35 and 40. 4:35 through 40. It says, on the same day, check this out, an awesome story. When the evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern. Jesus was sleeping. He was just chilling. There's a crazy storm happening, and there's like, the water's getting into the boat. I always ask my dad, like, how come the water didn't go into the stern, into, like, the basement part? He'd just be like, I don't know. Son, ask him what happened, you know? So, and look, but he was in the stern asleep on a what?
Pillow.
How does Pastor Drew say pillow? Pillow, yeah. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? Do you not care? Immediately they start to judge Jesus' character. Does he not care? Where is he at? We're drowning. We're about to die. And where is Jesus? So they go and he's sleeping on a pillow. Oh, wake him up, bro. We're about to drown. And they immediately judge his character. Do you not care? He fed a bunch of people. He healed a bunch of people to the left and to the right. He's healed the blind. He's healed all kinds of people from their infirmities. And they're judging who he is. And they go with that first question. Does God not care? Does Jesus not care? And it goes to 39, right? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Man, you've been with me. Why are you judging my character? Character. Character. Why would you judge? Man, I care for you. I care for you. But see, that's what the devil does. He'll immediately come with that seed of discord in your mind to say, if this is happening to you, then where is God? Does he really care for you? Does he really care for you? The storm is hitting your house. The storm is hitting your life, your emotional life. Somebody does something to break your heart, and you're judging God. God, why did, if you really care for me, why did he or she break my heart? God's like, dude, did I tell her to break up with you, bro? Did I tell him to break up with you, sis? Not you guys, I promise. I'm not speaking death over your marriage, I promise, all right? I love you guys. It's just an example. Do you guys understand that? We judge God's character because of somebody else's knucklehead mistakes. Amen? Yeah, and he probably warned you too. Amen. Whoa, whoa. Listen, God cares. Tell your neighbor, God cares. Listen, if you felt If you felt unsure tonight, if God cared for you, we're going to fix that tonight. Amen? Not because of my opinion, but through the word of God. Amen? Now, check this out. Point number three. There is no one that cares as much as God. Listen, there is no one that cares as much as God. It's a really easy message. I don't know why my accent's coming out real bad today. Easy. Listen, you say, God, I mean, listen, God sees you at your house when you're moping around with a sad face. And he asks you, why, it's not sad, guys. Come on now. Listen. I like that you guys are super engaged, but it's like, I was at the wrong moments, I think, sometimes, huh? Listen, God sees you when you're in the shower, when you're in your bed and you're crying, and he asks you. If you really pay close attention, he'll ask you and he'll whisper in your ear through the word of God, through his Holy Spirit, and he'll say, why is your face looking like that today? Why are you more concerned about that problem and you're not asking me for help? Seriously, he'll answer your questions. He'll answer through the word of God, through his Holy Spirit, through somebody. He'll speak to you if you're willing to listen. Amen? Now check this out. God looks at Cain in Genesis 4:6. Cain is upset with his brother Abel because he honors the sacrifice that Abel gives, but he's kind of like, Cain just gave me just the scum of the earth. You know what I mean? And if you read here in Genesis, check this out. God asked Cain. I didn't give you that scripture? Oh, my bad. He says, why has your countenance fallen? Why is your face like that? Why are you walking around like that? See, God cares about those things. Amen? Amen? See, look. I have this awesome scripture, and I told her to give it to me in New King James because it has a word that I'm looking for. God is into your feelings. God wants to know why you're feeling upset, why you're upset, why you're sad, why you're heartbroken, why you're stressed out. Watch this scripture right here in Hebrews. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the what? With the feelings of what? Of our infirmities. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's moved by how we feel. Check this out. Keep going. But was in all points. Everybody say all points. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, God, Jesus, he went through sadness. We read it before. He wept. He was crucified. He felt pain. There's nothing that God, Jesus, has never felt that you're feeling right now. Amen? Amen? Amen. And point number four, my last point, cry baby. Everybody say cry baby. But put that space in between, cry baby. God is telling us tonight to cry. There's a certain cry that when I hear Andy or Isaac, a certain cry that I'll be like, it's all right. They're faking it. That's all right. He just wants something from me. Yes or no or no? Pastor Tamar, true? There's a cry that parents know when they're fit, but there's a cry that will make you drop everything in the room and run to wherever your kid is at. Yes or no? Yesterday, we were chilling on the couch, and I was watching Isaac. He likes climbing things, and he's climbing this, like, little subwoofer, like, speaker-looking thing, and she's like, we always tell him, like, stop, get off of there, but he loves going on there. He likes to dance on it. Maybe because he feels a bass or something, so he's, like, dancing. And seriously, my Mexican self was like, let him fall so he learns. It's like a grandma thing, you know? Let him fall so he learns, right? And I saw him falling, and he hit his face on the what's that called? It's like a dresser-looking thing. And there was, like, a silence for, like, a second or two, and he was just getting ready to let it out. And as soon as he fell, like, I was waiting for it, and he started crying. And then I ran to his rescue, carried him, and then I gave him to Chanel. Chanel is the only one that could soothe him, right? But Edgar, Rebecca, there's a certain cry that your child you know when it's for real, amen? Same thing with God. There's a cry of his people that he responds to, a genuine cry. See, a lot of people will hide their emotions and they don't want to show it, and they're like, oh, come, God doesn't come to my rescue. Seriously, who cares what people think? Cry out to God. And just leave it wherever. This is not just the altar. There's an altar in your house, guys. There's an altar in your bedroom. There's an altar in your car. There's an altar wherever you make an altar. Just because this altar was built, this is an awesome altar. Honestly, it's sturdy. Pastor Tamara can give you all the details of how it was built, when it was built, how many nails are in that. I came when there was like, we added these pieces. That's how OG I am right there, huh? But listen, there's a certain cry, guys, a cry like Hannah did when she was at the church with the priest Eli, and the priest Eli was like, dude, are you drunk? What's wrong with you? She couldn't have kids, and she was crying out to God. She was weeping every single day. See, God didn't respond to her problems. He responded to her cry. See, God doesn't respond to problems because he's bigger than any problem, but he responds to our cries, amen? There's an awesome scripture here in Psalms 34:6, and it says, this is David, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. See, this poor man cried out. See, God didn't respond to the troubles. He responded to the cries of David. David put himself in a bunch of pickles all the time because of his mistakes that he made. Yet he would cry out to God and God would hear his cries. And he responded to his cries. Amen? See, Hannah's awesome. She wasn't hiding under how she felt. She just acted drunk and started crying to God. And God responded to her. She was promised a son, Samuel. She dedicated him to the Lord's house. From a young age. That's awesome. God is looking for people who will cry out to him. Not be embarrassed and not be like Lorenzo was saying, not to be like concealed in your stress and your sadness and your bitterness. People walk in that all their lives. And they don't walk fully in the purpose that God has for them because they're just walking in their own little world of sadness and bitterness. Amen? See, God wants you to cry out to him because he'll hear you. He'll save you from all your troubles. He'll save me from all my troubles. I have one last story, and we're going to have some time to just worship and pray and ask God to be with us. Amen. He's already with us, but just to come and to touch hearts, if that's you, God is going to, I promise you, if you open up your heart and you cry out to him tonight, he'll be here, and he will deliver you from that. Amen? Amen. This is the last story in the Bible, but it's in Luke chapter 18. Verse 35 through 43, and it says that then it happened as Jesus was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. This guy's just begging, blind, begging. Imagine what kind of life this guy lived. A blind life and a begging life. That's a sucky life, for real. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. Hey, what's up right here? What's happening? Why all this commotion? Why is this happening? Like, why are there so many people here? So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he what? He cried out. He cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him. Dude, this is what the devil will tell you. Shut up. You're not important. God doesn't care about how you're feeling right now. He's busy. Stay blind. Stay begging. But look at what this guy did. 40. But he cried out all the more, even louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. This guy cried out. He didn't care what people were telling him to do. We read stories like this in the Bible all day long. And check this out. It says, verse 40, it says that. Is that all I gave you? So Jesus stood still. Look, he's walking, doing his thing, and he hears the cry of a blind, begging man. And he stands still. And he's probably like, where is that noise coming from? I hear a cry. I hear a cry. I hear a certain cry. Not just a cry for food. Not just a cry for hey, what can you do for me today? I hear a certain cry of somebody who really needs and is really desperate and is really tired for some change. And he stands still, and then he commands him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? God is asking you today, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, see, he didn't ask for possessions. He didn't ask for material stuff. All he wanted is that he just receive his sight back. Something so simple, but something so complicated. Imagine living like this. I don't know how many years this guy was blinded for. I don't know how many years you've walked with what you've walked with. Lorenzo said 20. How many years, Lorenzo? 28 years. 28 years of being spiritually blind. Or not 28 years. You're 28 now, right, brother? Oh, yeah, you're 30. I like it. 30 years young. Yeah, I like it, brother. 28 years walking, feeling hopeless, feeling sad, feeling all the negative things that you could think of that the devil's told you in your life. All I want to do is receive my sight, Lord. 42. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight, for your faith has made you well. See, Jesus responded. Do we have anything else? And immediately he received his sight and what? Followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, say all the people, when they saw it, they started giving God praise. See, that's what somebody's cry will do to a community around them. If we cry out to God, church, and God will start doing crazy things in our church. Trust me, it's been prophesied over this church. But it doesn't start with, God already did his part. It starts with us crying out to him. Like a legit cry, though. I'm not saying you have to come over here and start weeping. And you know what I mean? You do whatever the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Be humble and expose whatever you've been walking with. You think it's easy for Lorenzo to come up here and say that he was sexually abused as a child? I wouldn't want to say that. That's to the world, that's like, dude, that's kind of embarrassing to the world. But to God, for the church family, man, stories like that will be coming through these doors, and we're going to glorify God. People will go back home, say, man, I've been delivered. I've been set free. I've received my sight again. Amen. Listen, it all starts with us, though. It all starts with us. Are we going to humble out before God and cry to him? Trust me, God knows his children. He'll know, oh man, I hear a cry that I recognize, and it's not just a regular cry. It's not just like this like bluffing cry like Isaac and Andy do sometimes. They're all right. They're all right. Seriously, right? Right, Pastor Tamara? What's wrong? Should now go check on him. No, they're just playing. Andy's probably bugging him. And sure enough, I go in the room and she's like putting her foot in his face and he's like mad, you know? But trust me, if I hear a certain cry, man, I'm jumping over everything. I don't care if I get hurt. I'm going to tell my kid as fast as I can because I know something's wrong. That's God for us tonight. Yeah.